Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your yarn in circle of Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, you know, BBM Bumper Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation, thanks to NERS. You can have your saber calls on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across this deadly country of ours, welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. Now, Labor Senator Pat Dodson criticises failure to reduce awful blight of Aboriginal deaths in custody. And his quote, top priority, is demands the government should make it a top priority to reduce incarceration rates and children in out-of-home care, saying now's the time to stop the rot. And the rot it is. On the line, we have Labor Senator Pat Dodson on the line there. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor, and good morning to your listeners. I'm very well, thanks. I'm over in Broome,
fantastic. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, Senator, just let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
I'm a Yarru man, and that's people around the coastline near Broome. Really, it's a very small area, but coastal people bordering on the desert.
Strong people at that. Thank you very much. Now, talking about the stop the rot, it is the rot. When you're talking about 437 deaths in custody with no conviction, that in itself you would say is a pandemic.
Absolutely. And we've got to, it's not as if we don't know what the causes are and what some of the remedies are. The Royal Commission made 339 recommendations, and a lot of those go to the underlying issues: health, housing, education, employment, and that just the investment hasn't been happening in those areas. Housing's an appalling situation for Queensland, Western Australia, and parts of Northern Territory, of course, and South Australia. So, just have not addressed basic things that can assist the communities to have a better quality of life.
Well, we're talking about essential things, and they are essential things. The states and the territory were closing because of COVID-19. Only essential businesses were operating. Well, that's essential things we're talking about for a human life, so to speak: housing, education, employment, all the above. So COVID-19 has exposed the government and how they work with First Nation people, yes?
Absolutely, and I note that there's been some movement with the peak organisations and the National Cabinet. But the goals there are so far out, they're almost at the end of this century to make them pretty much meaningless. There's got to be a bringing back of those goals to a shorter term. And there's got to be resources put to the best intentions here. And there's got to be fundamental sign-ups and commitments that bind the states to do things. Because if you can have the best set of goals, you can have the best intentions. But unless there's binding contracts between the various jurisdictions and the First Nations entities, it'll mean nothing.
And when you look at the Aboriginal incarceration rates and deaths in custody, you're talking about the government not to pussyfoot around. Elaborate on that, please, Senator.
Well, what I meant by that was the buck keeps getting pushed between the Commonwealth and the state. This is the state, this is the Commonwealth. It's a ping-pong game. And we've seen it for far too long, and it has to stop. We're a federation, and the Commonwealth has got capacity under the referendum of 67 to take a leadership role. And it should take a proper leadership role and make sure that the states come in and do their part, but take the leadership on this. I mean, we've just invested an outlay of, something like $570 billion into our military services, and that may be the right thing to do, but let's have an investment over the 10-year period into the First Nations underlying issues and get something done.
Well, exactly. And then when you look at the incarceration, well, let's talk also about 30,000-odd kids out of home care. I mean, that's appalling as well, those numbers.
It's a terrible thing. And, of course, our own families are going to take their responsibilities in relation to these things. You know, part of the truth is that the number of women who are going into custody is appalling, and that's a matter of domestic violence, and we've got to take stock as men about those things. So we've got our part to play in this, but the system is totally arranged against us and is not supportive of the leadership that some of our organisations are trying to take in this space.
And Fancy, well, the other thing that you're pushing for is a push to uncover how Rio Tinto blasted ancient Jungan Gorge caves. I mean, that in itself is sickening, is it not?
Look, this is a terrible indictment on this country. It goes back to the way the John Howard government dealt with the Hindmarsh Bridge affair in South Australia, the women's dreaming site. And from that point onwards, we've had this drift away of Commonwealth capacity to intervene on national heritage issues and a weakening of state legislations to protect heritage. So this history is goes back to Howard's use of the power 5126 under the Constitution. From then on, and the weakening of the Native Title Act that he also introduced, and to the extent now where miners have got the capacity to destroy sites, and First Nations peoples have got no capacity, no redress to appeal that.
Mm. Now, Labor Senator, working with also Liberal National Member Warren Inch, who have made a public plea to investigate how the caves were destroyed so it doesn't happen again.
Well, we've got to look at that, and I've worked with Mr. Inch on a number of things about Northern Australia, and we work fairly close together because we have common interests. And this is another area where, you know, the balance between the rights of the miners, the legal rights, and the legal rights of First Nations people, have got out of sync. And we've got to bring that back into some fairer and level playing field and give some real respect to the ancient history of Aboriginal people.
And in regards to Jungan Gorge Caves, was there communication with the TOs? Obviously not, in regard to the agreement from Rio Tinto with the traditional owners, yes?
Well, it looks like there's a complex field of agreement making where the TOs often get silenced in their and so they can't voice opposition to what the companies do. Now, that's a terrible thing if that's the case, and that's one of the matters that we'll be looking at closely. And certainly the capacity to intervene should have been part of the protocol that the company says it had with the people.
Are they talking compensation as well to the mistake that they so-called made?
Well, I'm not sure about that. I mean, companies are generally pretty hard to get money out of, but I think it's the absolute loss to
big
human
time.
Beings, humankind, you
yes,
know?
Yes, yes.
This is an absolute disgrace. And you see today that they've found ancient artifacts and things in the sea just off the coast from where this atrocity took place.
Well, it sounds like the mistake that they made, they may get a fine, a slap on the wrist, then they continue with a billion-dollar industry, is how I see it.
Well, unless there's change to the law that gives a greater respect to the capacity for the First Nations peoples to exercise free, prior, and informed consent in these matters and have a clearly demonstrated pathway around that, of course the companies will just plough on and destroy sites in order to get the returns that they want.
Okay, and just going back to the Black Death in custody, when you look at George Floyd and the death over there with that African-American brother, non-Indigenous people in this country, we feel that they were jumping on the bandwagon in regard to George Floyd's death. But we've got our own George Floyd situation here in Australia, yes?
Well, look, we've had 400 or so deaths in this country since the Royal Commission. That's as serious as enough matter as it is. It's sad that the tragedies in the United States are as they are, but we've got to clean up our own backyard. And
exactly.
The pressure but the people have been putting on through their protests here is to focus on the Australian situation and to get the governments and the First Nations peoples working together to fix the rot.
And Senator, what's your response in regard to there was no slavery in this country?
Oh, that's a nice piece of propaganda, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Of course there's been slavery. I mean, the poor old the people from the South Seas who live in Queensland and other places, you know, were brought over as slaves for the cane fields.
Kanakas.
were enslaved in the pastoral industry under, you know, legitimate laws of the Crown. It's a nonsense to say there wasn't slavery. And even those people who came out from England, I mean, they were brought out in chains, for goodness sake.
Convicts, exactly. So that was a statement in denial, you would say, from the Prime Minister?
Oh, very heavily, statement that denies the facts of reality.
So we've still got a long way to go in regarding our blight for First Nation people in this country, the Big Island, and it's an uphill battle.
Well, it's an uphill battle, but we've got some clear indicators of how we ought to go. I mean, the Makarrata Commission for truth-telling and for agreement-making is really, we should embrace that as a way for all of us in Australia
yes. To
go forward rather than just see us as having arguments all the time and finding no resolution. The Makarrata Commission would be a fantastic way for us to deal with some of these issues and find solutions to them.
Sure. And the so-called Uluru Statement is still in the in-tray, so to speak.
Well, that's right. It's got to stay in the in-tray until there's a voice to the Parliament, which the people want. And, of course, the voice of the Parliament would be very helpful on many occasions when governments come to make laws or decide how they're going to respond to the needs that First Nations have got.
Exactly. So, look, a beautiful conversation. Thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you and your family and your team there. Labor Senator Pat Dodson, please keep in touch and all the best. You stay safe. And we'll yarn soon, my friend.
Thank you very much and all the best to all your listeners.
Thank you. Stay safe. You take care. Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there, powerful yarn, robust, with Labor Senator Pat Dodson and talking about the Rio Tinto blasting ancient Dugan George Caves, as well as the Black Deaths in custody in this country, and also talking about the Uluru Statement, and we're a voice to First Nation people in Parliament. So very deadly conversation there, and way behind the eight ball in regarding our life as human beings in this country, in our own country, and a lot of work to be done. Have you say your mob, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, and that daily number here is 1-800-422-416. Yeah, yarning with the Baldy on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, your host for your daily program National Talk Black, and I'm taking it right up to 12 noon Queensland time. It's 11:19. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. Want to hear what you're going to say. Big shout out to all your mob there in Coranda. Jam all night, here's Zenith.
Yo, man, do you really want to jam all night, man?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jam all night.
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 Do you really want to jam?
Jam with me.
Do you really want to dance with me?
Do you want to? Do you really want to dance with me?
Do you really want to dance with me?
Do you really want to? Do you really want to dance with me?
Do you really want to jam?
Do you want to? Do you really want to jam?
Jam all night.
Jam all night.
Jam all night.
Dance with me.
Do you really want to dance?
Clean your hands regularly with soap and water or alcohol-based hand rubs.
Tama I tōko tōrima ki te vai e te pō, tama me taki kia mā.
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
To Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Nakari, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'm going to catch up with Deadly Brother now by the name of Cornell Ozzies. He's the director of Our Law. And look, a fantastic operation in regard to the only, if not in the country, in WA, only run police force, police station by First Nation officers. Got him on the line now. A very good morning, Cornell. How are you?
Good morning, brother.
Brother, thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
So I'm Jugin Yaru from Broome in West Kimberley.
All right, fantastic. Beautiful footprint there, my brother. Look, you're the director of Our Law. Tell our deadly listeners, I think it's a fantastic story, about Our Law. What is Our Law and when did it start and how long has it been running for?
So Our Law is about the only Indigenous-run police station in Western Australia.
Yes.
I believe it's the only one in Western Australia, but maybe in Australia.
Sure, yes.
We follow two Indigenous officers, Revis Ryder and Wendy Kelly, both Noongar from Perth.
Big shout out.
They are operating a station out in a place called Warrakoona. Now, Warrakoona is just on the border of WA, NT and South Australia, so right on that point where the three states meet.
The three states right meet, yeah. Big shout out to the mob there, Warrakoona, because I've been out that way, and beautiful country.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bit of a trek to get out there. You
it
know,
is.
You fly into Uluru, and then you get in a car, and then you take about 7 hours.
Seven hours driving on dirt road.
Dirt road to get there, yeah.
Too deadly, my brother. So tell us your involvement and how this all come about, and you're the director of Our Law. So tell us how it all first started and when did it start?
So producers Sam Fields and Taryn LaFar heard whispers and rumours about this only Indigenous police station. Mm-hmm. Now they're both WA filmmakers, and Taryn LaFar happens to be my big cuz.
All right.
And she said, look, cuz, I've got a project that I would like to work with you on. And so they brought me in. And we reached out to the WA Police Force, Warrakoona community, and the two officers to see if they wanted us to tell this story, because it's a very unique story.
It is.
And so I wanted to be a part of it, because, you know...
Because you're not an officer yourself, are you?
No, but my younger brother is.
Okay.
He's in the WA Police Force. My stepmother was in the force for about 20 plus years. I have uncles and aunties.
So you're the black sheep. You're not in the police force. You're the one on the outside.
I'm the creative, crazy one.
Okay, good one, brother. So what's your background? What do you do, bro?
So I'm a filmmaker. I'm pretty much a jack of all trades. Cameraman, editor, animator, director, you name it.
Too deadly. So when is this segment available? When can we see it and how do we see it? Is it on NITV or how do we see it, brother?
So it was part of the Sydney Film Festival. It was up for an award. Lucky we didn't get it. It was screened on NITV on the 30th. On the 22nd. But now you can watch it on SBS On Demand. It'll be up for a whole year, so anybody can watch it. Go online, SBS On Demand.
The mob at Warrakoona must think it's deadly when they're watching it. And which way of them officers there were Warrakoona?
So we did a community screening. We got the big projector out.
Good.
And everyone got to watch it. And, they got to see themselves on the screen.
Exactly.
Which is why you want to do it, you want to see more of our mob on screen, and, you know, they got a kick out of seeing their community and the officers on screen.
Cornell, I think it's a very exciting story. With what's happening in the world, in regard to Black Lives Matter, with black deaths in custody, and here we have a police station run by First Nation people in their community, on their land. Thumbs up, brother. It's fantastic.
When we were filming it, we finished filming in 2019, so it was well before the current climate.
Sure.
And but sadly, 2 days into shooting, Miss Clark in Geraldton got shot by an officer.
Yes.
So we heard of that while we were filming, and I think that cemented why it was important to make the documentary.
Exactly.
There's a lot of focus on the problem.
Yes.
But there's not many solutions out there, and this is a possible pathway, a possible solution. So it was great to get it out there, and then it got a bigger audience when it got selected in the Sydney Film Festival. So.
For sure. The old saying, Cornell, success breeds success, and this is a beautiful, successful story, And you got mob working in community, looking after community on community land, brother, and black on black, you can't beat that, eh, Cuss?
Yep. And the thing that made this real special was the officers were learning the language of the land.
Oh.
So, English is like a second, third language out there in the country on the land.
Exactly.
And so you're going to have a communication breakdown if you can't communicate. And so that what was part of the problem in non-Indigenous officers were out there just to arrest people, and they weren't having conversations.
Because there was no communication going on. That's right, exactly.
Exactly. So the two officers took it upon themselves to learn the language and also, incorporate Indigenous protocols into their everyday work. And so, you got Revis going out collecting wood on his weekend, on his time off, for the old ladies to have firewood to, be warm at night.
Mm.
And that's, going beyond the badge.
Exactly, exactly. And are we talking about non-Indigenous officers here?
No, no, this is Revis and Wendy, the Indigenous officers.
Okay, fantastic. So, and they're not from that country, is that right?
That's right.
And that's why they had to learn the language. Beautiful.
Exactly. So they took it as like, we're strangers on your land, so we have to learn your culture.
See, that's the blackfella way, isn't it, Cornell?
Yep.
Respect for country.
So what I'm hoping is, other officers that see the documentary go, okay, there's a way to approach things, and there's a way that we could make our life easier as officers. You don't have to arrest everybody.
That's right.
Just
talk to me, please, officer. Just talk to me.
That's it. Community engagement, that shows in the documentary. And I hope the documentary informs, influences, and changes police policies, I guess.
Sure. So with the two officers who are learning language, of course, they're still working there at the station, police station?
So Revis is still working at the police station, and a new female officer's come out to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy's actually got a promotion, so she's now was working in policy in the police now. So the stuff that she was doing out in Warrakoona, they're trying to translate it and put it into police procedures and policies for WA Police Force.
Too deadly. And speaking the Ngunnawal language, that's too deadly, my brother.
Yeah. So you witness them learning it in the documentary, and you can see how they get tongue-tied, and, you know, it's a very difficult language to learn.
Too deadly, my brother. Of course it is. And when we're talking the actual program, it's called Our Law. Is that the TV program?
Yeah, it's called Our Law.
Fantastic. Okay, look for that on SBS. Fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing, Cornell. And where are you based, and what's happening with your life now?
So I'm based in Sydney. I work at Sydney University.
Okay.
So I make educational content for the students. So I'm embedding Indigenous knowledge into the uni system here at Sydney, and trying to promote our knowledge, the first knowledge of the land in, institutions like Sydney University.
Beautiful. You're doing a fantastic job, brother. And look, that's a powerful tool is what you're using in regarding media and filming and cinematography. It's beautiful that you're working in that space. And it's a way we can educate the people of the world, especially non-Indigenous people, especially government, and people alike, and about our people and about how we operate. And like I said, working in community, on community, with community, nothing beats that, my brother. So thank you very much for sharing, Cornell.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
You take care, brother. Keep smiling. Keep in touch, eh?
Will do.
Bye-bye. Hey, deadly yarn there. His name is Cornell Ozzies, too deadly that brother, and he's the director of Our Law, and he got showcased on NITV, but now you can see it on SBS, and it's about the only run Aboriginal police station, police station that's run by First Nation people, officers and what have you, and not from their land, and learning the Ngunnawal language of the people there at Warrakoona, and right on the border there, Western Australia, Northern Territory, South Australia. Fantastic. Too deadly. Have you say you mob, yarn up strong. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, 20 Trevor Murray from the Curry. Host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Want to hear what you got to say, you mob. 1-800-422-416. Give me a call. Let's have a yarn. Too deadly.
but he don't fly around. He never touched the ground. He sees something to eat. That's what my friend.
For many people, paying for essential goods and services is a struggle, yet going without is worse. Without a fridge, you can't store fresh food. Without a computer, kids can be left behind at school. And if you can't afford the medical care you need, you can't get well. The No Interest Loan Scheme, NILS, offers people on low income safe, fair and affordable loans for fridges, washing machines and furniture, as well as education and medical expenses. Loans cannot be used for rent, arrears or bills. To be eligible for NILS, you must have a healthcare or pension card, earn under $45,000, $60,000 for joint applicants, or people with children, and you must be able to repay the loan. NILS is based on trust and respect.
To inquire about NILS loans, call Shaq in Cairns on 4080 7400. That's 4080 7400. Shaq is a local NILS provider for Good Shepherd Microfinance.
Station sponsor.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service, and you can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yes, a different world we're living in at the moment, thanks to COVID-19, but it's been adaptable to the so-called changes of life. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Alison Centres. She's the ABC Foundation CEO, and the ABC Foundation's Aboriginal Biodiversity Conservation and nice acronym, Food for the Mob, and talking about on-country care to provide 26,000 free hot meals, healthcare and more to COVID-19 affected people in Gascoyne and Midwest. On the line we have Alison. Alison, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. And, yeah, we're living in a different world at the moment, COVID-19 upon us, affected people in Gascoyne and Midwest. First of all, tell us who ABC is, ABC Foundation, and let's go into the 26,000 free hot meals that you're providing for mob out there.
Sure. ABC Foundation, so we're a majority Aboriginal held social enterprise. We got off the ground about 4 years ago, and our core focus was around mainstreaming how Aboriginal people are engaged in looking after country. And we deliver a range of social benefit programs, engaging Aboriginal kids, especially in remote areas, through bush classrooms to get back to school, mm-hmm. right through to labour hire and employment programs, and where we really look at working more collaboratively with other local-based Aboriginal corporations to build their capability.
Oh, fantastic. So the acronym here, or the one of the programs got it, Food for the Mob. Fantastic. But the big story is the on-country care to provide 26,000 free hot meals, healthcare and more to Gascoyne and Midwest after COVID-19 affected people. Is it because of the isolation as such, or paint that picture and the reason of 26,000 free hot meals?
Yeah, definitely isolation in the sense, but what we recognised as an organisation living in remote and regional areas and also our community partners was the access to services, especially with COVID-19 and having to stay indoors, especially for Aboriginal people over the age of 50, and kids not being at school and then transitioning back to school. We recognised that there was going to be an ongoing need for emergency health care and including hot food to stay fit and healthy. So that was the aim of the program. Was Food for the Mob's been around for a little while now,
yes.
Where it's been providing low-cost meals for the community, but this was about going, how can we work collectively to address an urgent need due to COVID-19?
Yeah, fantastic. So, look, it's a team effort, isn't it? And I also like to bring into the conversation the support with Lottery West. Can you explain that in regarding the $212,238 grant to fund the immediate needs of people experiencing financial hardship and other areas?
Yeah, and you're correct. It is a complete team effort. So when we went to Lotteries West, ABC Foundation was already a community partner for Lotteries West, and they have done amazing support with our on-country education programs. So we had an opportunity to go to them when they were repurposing the funding to support affected areas for COVID-19 and to look where is the current gap. And when I say a team effort, ABC Foundation, along with its community partners, we definitely could not be doing this without our guys and our Aboriginal corporations on the ground. And we came together and went, okay, well, what is it we've already got? What are the trucks? What are the vehicles? What are the staff? What are the commercial kitchens? What are the food vans? What is it that we have already got? And what is the gap? And that's what we went to Lotteries West for, which was the gap. How can they help us fund the fuel we need to drive out, the extra staff and project management skills, the ability to have some cooks on ground, making sure we're employing local Aboriginal people to help deliver this service.
Beautiful.
So that's what the funding is for.
Look, which is fantastic, and I always say that money is a tool, and it's to me for helping mob on country. That's not an expense, that's investment, and the taxpayers' money is being invested so well. So, fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing. So, the hot meals and all that is all underway, or has it been in action for a while?
Yeah, so we're actually going to be starting from July. So this project will go from July right up to Christmas.
Okay.
But what has been phenomenal through this process is, especially with the launch last week, is all the extra support we've had thrown at us from our other partners like Food Bank and Second Bite and Coles. So I think what we originally started in making 26,000 hot meals, which is 1,000 hot meals a week, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be getting a lot more food hampers out there and a lot more additional support and services. So I think this project is just going to grow organically, and it's just going to provide more and more support for those in need.
And when you're talking partnership, which is very important in any venture, they say if you build it, they will come. And look, they come in, which is fantastic and empowering. And so to me, it's not a handout, but a hand up in supporting our mob on country there at WA. Fantastic. So thank you very much for sharing, Alison. All the best to you and your deadly team. And look, stay safe and keep doing what you're doing. And thanks for the yarn.
Thank you so much. Stay safe.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A deadly yarn there with Alison Sentrance, her name is. She's the CEO of ABC Foundation. ABC is Aboriginal Biodiversity Conservation, and the phrase there for food for the mob, which is fantastic. And the conversation there was about the on-country care to provide 26,000 free hot meals, healthcare, and more to COVID-19 affected people in Gascoyne and Midwest. So looking after that mob there, but also providing employment and supporting the mob there and through this pandemic. So fantastic. Fantastic team effort. Thank you very much to WA Government and also Lottery West and ABC. Doing a fantastic job there. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Call that number, 1-800-422-4416. Number again is 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trevor Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We're going across the nation, thanks to News. Want to give a big shout out to a good daily brother I know out there, Daryl Murger, wherever you are, my brother. Hope you're well. Keep smiling, brother. And look, thanks for the coffee the other day, and due to catch up soon, brother. Your mob, give me a call, 1-800-422-416.
An old man sadly gazes out across the blue horizon. He can't stop the tears that falls from his eyes. He turns and faces towards town. He sees people nowhere bound. He wonders if they'll ever go home. The wild cockatoos silhouetted against the rainstorm. It seems
Raining on the Rocks. That's Danny Marr featuring Paul Kelly here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say your mob, 1-800-422-416. We've got someone on the line. Very good morning, my brother.
Good morning, brother. Yeah, brother, I will shortly touch on the first black fellow go out there. Black comedy in 1973. It was a program called Basically Black, brother. It was in black and white. Mm. We had the two channels. But before that, I want to say a big shout out to Kelly Tamroy Willer up in Arlington, the mayoress of Arlington. Big shout out to her, brother.
Okay, lovely.
And Tony Gift, brother. That happened on the Saturday Kids Post. It's yes. My heart, brother, hearing him back on the show. and the fact that he went on John McKenzie.
Yes.
And I think it'd be okay to say, Tony, I want to say if you're listening.
He's listening.
The thing that come to my mind is if you pay for potato, you grab the hole. You're going to do the footwork, eh, brother? No, we're just sitting back praying to God.
Exactly.
And the other one was cockroach don't like life. I like the number, brother. On the Basically Black, brother, there was three actors: Bob Mazza, Bindi Williams from the Bindi Animal Doctor, used to be on TV, and Gary Foley was there on that, and the Superbum, brother, Zach Martin, brother. He was a death in custody, brother, in Coranda, brother. So they joke up on us. Yeah, he was a death in custody in Coranda. Two more from Lucas, grandbrother, from Palm, with Jason Barry, and that Carl, a son, sorry, the son of Erica Carl, and Erica Carl was the mayor of Palm Island, which you went to the autopsy report, and you see in the way she was talking, she said, mother death in custody.
Yes.
One of the things I said on the program that I wish that Erica would have got a laugh at was that brother from Lockhart. Nickname Chowfrey, brother, Shakira Chowfrey, and he comes there from Rocky Square, and he had the front court, their brother, and he had a singlet on, and he had either charged with contempt of court because the singlet had a drawing of a black fellow behind a cell, and then looking through the cell, the windows, the bar. Mm.
And they took that as derogatory.
The caption was, "I survived Locust Glen." Yeah, brother.
Hey, shut up.
But anyway, I'd like to also give a shout out to Coppers, brother. And that was the coup that gave evidence when Natalie Beagle and the couple was charged for assault on the end. Mm. They gave evidence for that. And there was one in Tarrant Creek, Graham Cooler.
Yeah.
And the couple, policeman gave evidence on that one. Big shout out to Rick Flory, the white fellow whistleblower that of the other cops bashing the other white fellow in the back of a wagon, brother.
Yes.
And I was just saying that brother, before I finish, I sort of something that stuck in my throat. I thought it's an issue. I wouldn't finish on what you said, every call count, and because you're a motivational speaker, and I sort of wondered about that. Because a lot of the things that Liz and Marsha and Graham say, nobody can challenge them. You certainly don't challenge them, brother. And I think one of the calls that we have those black fellows called, but one of the deterrents of those calls was some of the throwaway lines that you gave, like opinions like BO and three fingers putting back, and Jeff Payne don't have rear vision mirror. Then you have a song by David Austin, Don't Look Back. Mm. But they do all that, and I think that was they're certainly not motivating for it to come on and talk, because a lot of our issues, like, okay, they're from the past, but their resumes are from the past. The Western civilization, their civilization is based on the moral teachings of the Bible, all in the past. Criminal records, medical records, they're based on the past. The past gives us moral compass.
Sure.
And when they talk about statues, brother, all those tough things they get from the statues, too, brother. But anyway, brother, probably see you on the march. I'll be there taking my kids there, brother.
Lovely.
Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you, my brother. Too deadly. Yeah, opportunity for people to have their say and give their opinion as such. And like I said, I give my opinion as well on a positive spin, but open for the conversation. And if you disagree with what I'm saying, that's all good as well, you know. It's a platform. We can have that yarn, you mob, and talk for and against and, black and white, all issues. And hey, say, all conversations matter. There you go. Put that out there. Have your say and yarn up strong. It's 6 minutes to go here on the program with National Talk Black. And we've got the news coming up
very soon. Comes out via NIRS, National Digital Radio Service. And a big shout out to all our First Nation radio stations across the country. A beautiful network. And look, I'm so excited to be a part of it. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, 1-800-422-416. Crossroads Yulgul here on your daily program, National Talk Black. We got Sylvia on the line, WA, my sister. Very good morning.
Very Kwabadak Kedala. That's very good morning to you.
I'll take that. Good sister. How are you?
I'm making sure I keep healthy as I can because staying alive is winning.
Yes.
While they're living off the proceeds of our land and.
Yeah, we giggle.
Killing everything that they possibly can, or burning everything they possibly can, and clearing everything they possibly can.
All the above.
Building, what is it? Horrible edifices.
Empires.
Their addiction behaviours called casinos, and killing all the land and the wetlands and the animals and everything else.
Mm.
So it's a big job for cultural, spiritual people to keep on going.
But we can arise above it. The power of the spirits are strong.
It, you know?
Yes.
Either they kill us or they bring the best out of us.
It's made you stronger.
Which is what's happening. You know, luckily we had a culture that always was bringing the best out of us, so we've got that model in our genes and our knowledge, ancient knowledges, to help us cope with the present times.
Yes.
You know? But when you think about the people, you know, each time they clear the land and kill the trees,
yes,
and blow up sacred sites.
My sister, that's so short and sweet, but I've got to go to news. I want to talk to you tomorrow, my sister.
Okay.
Thanks, dear. That's Sylvia there calling from WA. Murray's got to go to news. Your mob look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Thank you for your company, and we'll yarn tomorrow.
My name's Raven, and you're listening to Talk Black on BBN 98.7 FM.